has pardoned me. He forgave me all my sins, put the Holy Ghost within. Oh, I love that man from Galilee.
In a manger long ago, I know it's really so. A babe was born to save men from their sin. John saw him on the shore, the Lamb forevermore. Oh, Christ the crucified of Calvary.
Oh, I love that man from Galilee. Well, he's done so very much for me. He forgave me all my sins, put the Holy Ghost within.
Publican went to pray in the temple there one day. He cried, "Oh Lord, be merciful to me."
Oh, thank you, Lord.
He was forgiven of every sin and a deep peace placed within. He said, "Come see this man from Galilee."
Praise the Lord. Isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord tonight? Amen. Did you enjoy service here Wednesday night? Brother Andrew Glover just blessed our heart, didn't he? Amen. That youngin keeps praying and seeking the Lord. He's going to be a real preacher one of these days. Oh, the Lord's just done wonderful things in Brother Andrew's life. Just graduated a couple of weeks ago out of high school, and well, he's just fervent for the Lord, and I appreciate that in anybody, young or old, don't you? Amen. We certainly do. Are you glad you're a Christian tonight? Are you glad you're a believer tonight? You're still believing, right? A miracle has happened. We are still believing. We are still fervent in this message that God has given us in this hour. Are you glad about it tonight? Does it mean the world to you? Give the Lord a big hand clap of praise. Oh, we thank the Lord that God has kept us another week. Let us be in the house of God. And Brother David Seiler is, Lord willing, as far as I know, he's here tonight. He's going to be speaking tonight and in the morning. And, well, we're just expecting great things. How many of you have been looking at any of the services from Brother Tim Pruitt's? Have you been looking at them? They're having a tremendous time down there. And I praise the Lord for that. Well, we've been having some tremendous times here too. Brother Tim, in one of his, before he introduced the speaker for the day, I don't know if it was Brother Ronald Dean or Brother Donnie, but he said he's talking about this final surge that we're in. I believe we're in a final surge, Brother Terry. You know, people around the world that don't want to believe the message anymore and don't believe in nothing that God's done in this hour that we live, they're in a final surge to do what they're doing. They're under an anointing to do what they're doing. Aren't you glad you're under an anointing to believe it with all your heart? Aren't you glad God has placed it within your heart to believe it with everything you got? Give the Lord one more hand clap of praise tonight. Hallelujah. Now, why don't you just turn around, shake somebody's hand, greet them in the name of the Lord, tell them you're glad to see them at church on Saturday night. Play some more of that if you will. For me,
lost within. Oh, I love that man from Galilee.
Nicodemus came by night to know the way of right. He asked the Son of Man, what must he do? These words he spoke to him, you must be born again by the Spirit of that man from Galilee.
Well, I love that man from Galilee. Oh, he's done so very much for me. He forgave me all my sin, put the Holy Ghost within.
Let's look at our prayer requests tonight. We've got just a few. If you don't mind, just stand with me for just a few minutes. Brother Fred Green wants us to remember the Wolf family in prayer over in Virginia and in Pensacola, Florida. Pray that God will restore and preserve their family by perfect love. So let's just commit that unto the Lord tonight. Brother Baker and his family are going to be traveling. They're asking that we would remember them as they travel on the highway. Sister Rachel Scott, having severe pain in her lower back, she's requesting that we would remember her in prayer. Brother Gary wants us to remember Sister Lona in prayer tonight. She's in a lot of pain with her neck. The pain has caused her blood pressure to go up, so they're asking that we would remember her in prayer tonight. I want to pray for the Parker family from North Carolina. They lost their mother this morning, so Sister Shirley Robbins sends that in. So let's pray for that family as they go through this time. Sister Martha Sacker sends us in. My sister called and asked us to pray for a little two-year-old that was left in the car at Walmart for 2 hours. Someone found her and broke the glass. She is alive and breathing, but is not responding. So they're asking that we would remember that child in prayer, that the Lord would just be merciful. All the unspoken prayer requests tonight, if you have a need, you believe God's able to meet whatever you have need of tonight. Brother Skip, would you come tonight, pray over these requests? Let's just commit these things unto the Lord. Invite His presence. We're going to have a good time here tonight. And as Brother Andrew said the other night, this don't have to be a 10-cent service for us. It can be a silver dollar service for all of us. Brother Tom, we're glad to have you back in the house of the Lord. God bless Brother Tom Horniak.
Let's all pray together. Dear Lord, we're very thankful to be here tonight. First off, we want to say we thank you for allowing us to be here. But Lord, we believe that our souls are sealed in this day, so Satan's attacking our spirit and our bodies. And that's why we get so many prayer requests of sickness and all. He might know he can't get our soul, but he still has access to these other realms. And we're asking you, Lord, that you'd come and touch each one of these requests that went forward, Father, that came in. Lord, it's no good to be sick. It's no good to be down and depressed and all. Lord, we want to serve you in happiness, Lord, and in good health. And we claim these things in the name of the Lord. For you promised it. There's a bomb in Gilead. It's here for us, Lord. All we got to do is believe it. All we got to do is reach up and accept it. We was talking to a brother a minute ago, Lord. We make it so hard sometimes. Brother Branham said, just believe, Lord. Help us just to believe, Father. We do believe, Lord. And we ask you to help our unbelief, and we know you will, Lord. We ask you to be with the minister tonight, Brother David. Help him, God. Speak to our hearts, Lord. Let us take one step closer to you, Lord, tonight. We ask all the people on the internet. We know that it's a blessing. It's been a blessing to my family when we can't be here if we're sick, just to be able to watch the services. We thank you for that, Lord. We pray that you'd be with each one. Help us as we go forward. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. God bless you. Also want to say tonight, Brother Eddie Yance is here in the service with us tonight. First time in about 2 months he's got to be in the service. And he told me yesterday the Lord gave him a miracle. And he's back in service here tonight. Give the Lord a good hand clap of praise tonight. Amen. Ushers, if you want to come at this time, we'll receive the evening offering. If you're visiting here tonight with us in this service, we want to welcome you. Glad to have you here. All that's streaming this service tonight, we just pray it'll be a great blessing to those folks as well. Brother Wes, the announcement for Sister Emily's reception, was that on the board, Brother Michael? You want that fulfilled by tomorrow? Is that right? Am I right? By June the 1st? If you're going to go to the reception after the wedding, which is be here on June the 13th, the reception is going to be at the pavilion. I'm maybe announcing something that you've already seen, but they want it by tomorrow. If you're going to go to the reception, please sign the sheet that's over in the library. It's there on the desk. Just do that. If you're planning on going to the reception, give those folks plenty of time to get us a lot of good food together. So praise the Lord for that. We learned just a little chorus over in the practice room just a few minutes ago. I saw him singing this chorus at Brother Tim's family camp, and it just really ministered to me, and I believe it will you too. We don't have any of the words, but it's just a repeat, and you'll pick up on it real, real quick. If we mess it up, we'll start all over and mess it up again. Is that all right? Let's see if we can do this tonight.
There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. To break every chain, break every chain, to break every chain. To break every chain, to break every chain, to break every chain. Sing it now. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. To break every chain, to break every chain, to break every chain. To break every chain, to break every chain, to break every chain. There's an army rising up. Oh, there's an army and she's rising up. Chain, to break every chain, to break every chain. Now there's a bride and she's rising up. Sing it, church.
There's a bride that's rising.
Oh, sing it to him.
There's a bride that's rising.
Oh, to break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. Oh, to break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. There is power in the blood of Jesus. To break every chain, break every chain. Oh, break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. Oh, there's power in the name of Jesus. There's power. Oh, sing it with all your heart. Oh, yes, there is. Break every chain, break every chain, break every chain.
To break every chain, every chain, break every chain. And there is victory in the name of Jesus.
There's victory in that name.
Of Jesus.
break every chain. Break all your chains. Break your chains.
Break every chain. Lord, break every chain.
Oh, there is power in the name of Jesus. There's power in the name of Jesus. Tonight, do you believe Him with all your heart? Isn't God good to us tonight? Do you love Him tonight with all you got?
Praise the Lord. I can only imagine what being in the meetings there in Louisiana or Texas, wherever that place is, would be like. Just to video it or to watch it on the internet is just about, you can't hardly sit in your seat. And I can just imagine being there. It's a big difference. But like Brother Skip said in his prayer, just to be able to see it, what God's doing things all over the world. He's got people scattered all over the world. And His purpose will be finalized and fulfilled in every one of them. You may tonight think the awfulest wreck that's ever been. But if God knew you, He's got, as like Brother Ronald Dean said, He's got a plan for you. And He will see it through to the very end. Do you believe that? Give the Lord a big hand clap of praise tonight.
Sing a little bit more of that for me. The power in the name of Jesus.
You're just learning that, so let's learn it just a little bit better and sing it a little bit louder. There's power in the name of Jesus. Do you realize this? And brother, and going back to what Brother Ronald Dean said in one of his, when he preached there, the first time, Brother Terry, that the name of Jesus was spoke by mortal lips, a dead baby leaped in a woman's womb. At the name of Jesus, there's power in that name.
Amen.
You call on the name of Jesus, Satan's got to get back, church.
Amen.
You believe it with all your heart. Somebody say praise the Lord.
There's power, Brother Harry.
There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power.
Break all your chains.
Oh, break every chain. Break every chain.
He can do it tonight, church.
Break every chain.
Break all your chains. He'll break all your chains.
To break every chain. Break every chain. Break every chain.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Let's sing a little song tonight just before we change the order of the service. He came looking for me. Aren't you glad He came looking for you? Aren't you glad He found you? You're scratching around in a hen house, in a hen yard. You're scratching for bugs. You're scratching for life. You thought you was doing good. You wasn't looking for nothing no better. And then one day, something flew over you. One day, something come into contact with you. You heard something you never had heard before. And it was life to your ears. Praise the Lord. Sing a little bit of it. Sing it good.
One night while on life's raging sea, it looked as if I would suffer defeat. At the blackness of night, closed off the light, my heart sank with fear. My desperate cry rang out with fright. All I could inside. With faith all but gone, I met the one who came looking for me.
I want you to sing about it. Well, he came looking for me.
My soul and calm all my fear.
Now I'm saying from all heart, since I met the one
who came looking for me. Oh, Satan had already picked out my grave.
Oh, yes, he has.
His plan had moved forward to put me away. I drifted so far. Would anyone care that I'd soon be lost? Was a matter
Hallelujah.
Of time, but Jesus appeared and said, this one is mine. Now I'm safe with no harm, 'cause he walked through the storm. He came looking for me. Rescue my soul and calm all my fear.
Now save from all harm, since I met the one who came looking for me.
Oh, Satan had already picked out my grave. His plan had moved forward to put me away. I drifted so far. Would anyone care that I soon it was a matter of time, but Jesus appeared and said, this boy is mine. Now I'm safe with no harm, 'cause he walked through my storm. He came looking for me. Rescue my soul and calm all my fear.
Now save from all harm, since I met the one who came looking for me. Well, he came looking for me.
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 He made a way when there was no way that I could see.
Rescue my soul and calm all my fear. Now I'm safe from all harm,
since I met the one who came looking for me.
When I drifted so far, Jesus was near.
Oh,
to rescue my soul and calm all my fear. Now I'm safe from all harm,
since I met the one who came looking for me. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Are you ready for Brother David to preach to us tonight? Are you ready to preach to us tonight? Amen. Right here's a guy, Brother David Seiler and his family. And I'm just picking on him a little bit tonight. It'll be your turn next time. But Brother David Seiler and his family, that's a family that makes a good church a better church. And we mean that, buddy. We mean that. Come on.
Thanks.
Praise God. Certainly appreciate that. I can tell he ain't been talking to Brother Donnie much. I'm just teasing. Amen. If you have your Bibles, we'd like to go to the book of Isaiah this evening. I want to turn to Isaiah chapter 40. We want to look at one verse of scripture this evening, verse 31. And then I would like to read a statement that Brother Brown makes in What Shall I Do With This Jesus Called Christ. And then we'll pray and let you be seated. How many's glad to be in the house of the Lord this evening? And trust you just come expecting something good from the Lord. And we're not going to pull no rabbit out of our hat tonight, so we're just going to put the cookies on the bottom shelf and just have all you want tonight. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. And they shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint.
Amen.
This scripture is talking about Israel that had been in Babylonian captivity for so long. But then once they had been there, their captivity becomes so grievous to them. And they were so perplexed and oppressed and so down that Isaiah writes to them and says, if you'll just wait upon the Lord, He'll renew your strength like an eagle. And what he's telling him is this, if you wait with expectation, there's a great exchange that's coming. And he said he's going to renew your strength like an eagle. And an eagle would, of course, not just any eagle, but a mature eagle that goes through a molting stage. And then after he goes through the molting stage, he begins to put on new feathers. And he's telling them, if you'll just wait upon the Lord, he's going to restore you back to your youth again. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. The only thing I know that can do that's a glorified body. Amen. What shall I do with this Jesus called Christ? The dynamics of this church will be a refilling of the Holy Spirit. That we have worked in a small measure while the headstone is coming down to unite with the body. But when that head and body unites together, the full power of the Holy Ghost will raise her up. Just exactly like even the dead that's in Christ for hundreds of years ago, will rise in the beauty of His holiness. And they're going to take a flight through the skies. The dynamics of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's just go to the Lord in a word of prayer and ask Him just to help us this evening as we pray over the Word. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the opportunity to come together tonight. And Lord, You just see our hearts, Lord. We're just going to be ourselves this evening, Lord. And we ask that You'd come and help us. Lord, help us that we can become just surrendered to You tonight. Lord, You know every person that's here. You know that they're here by design. They're here by purpose tonight. And we believe, Lord, that You're just going to come among us in a great way. And we ask You to speak to our hearts, Lord. May You take the needs that's in our hearts, Lord. And may they just be open to You now that we can so surrender them to You, Lord, that when we leave the building, we can leave them at Your feet tonight, Father. We ask, Father, that there just be liberty in the house of God, Lord. May anything that's unlike You, we pray, Lord, that You just, Lord, cast it aside tonight. May it leave the building, that there could be liberty in the house of God. We ask that Your presence would just come, Lord, and just saturate us tonight. And Lord, we just ask that we just come in this moment of time, Lord, and we could just forget about last week and next week and what's going to happen or what has happened. But Lord, this allotted moment that You give us, may we take full advantage of this opportunity. Lord, may it be more than just a service. May it be more than just another night that we come to church, but may it be an opportunity for our faith to move. Would You grant it tonight, we ask in Jesus Christ's name. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen. Lord bless you. You can have your seats for a few moments this evening. We'll certainly try not to be before you very long, but I want to speak this evening out of that quote that we have read from, and what shall I do with this Jesus called Christ? The dynamics of this church will be a refilling of the Holy Spirit. There's one thing that we can all agree upon, no matter how long you've been in the message, how long you've served God, but one thing would help us, we all need a refilling From time to time, we need refreshings. Paul told us in the book of Acts chapter 3 that he tells them to repent and be converted and that your sins would be blotted out. And then Paul says that from time to time that God would send a refreshing from the presence of the Lord. And we all need a refreshing, whether you're young, whether you're old, whatever your trouble may be, what trials you go through, we all need times of refreshing. And I'm always amazed at how merciful that God is to give us those opportunities. I'm amazed at how that God's mercy just keeps pouring out upon us. There's been a lot of men over the years that has tried to tell me and convince me that mercy is over, but I don't believe that tonight. I don't believe mercy is over, number one, because God keeps showing us mercy to me. Tells me that God's mercy isn't over tonight. And God keeps showing His mercy to you because you need His mercy. I'm glad that man has never been able to prove that, nor will he ever be able to prove that. But yet when the last one comes in, and that last name has been splashed beneath the Clorox bleach of that powerful blood tonight, we believe at that moment we'll leave here in a body change. And I just believe that God has such a love for us that His mind is upon us and He's always watching over us. The scripture said His mind, His eyes open on the sparrow. He's watching us very closely tonight. Everything is in God's watch. It's within His reach. And I believe that our lives has been orchestrated by Him. And the Bible says the footsteps of the righteous are over the Lord, and I believe that God watches over those footsteps. And I think of how that God has allowed us and allotted this time to come, and that how that He's given us such a love to be here. And Paul tells us that what manner of love has the Father bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. And you realize that many people has tried to begin this great race, but yet somewhere along the line, they give out in it. They need a refreshing. They give up in the middle of the battle. There's been a lot of men that has started this race. Been a lot of young people that has started this race. But brother, the goal ain't to start a race. But the goal is to make it to the finish line. It's to make it to the end. And Paul tells us that every stride that we make has to be in rhythm. And how that you can't just burn yourself out at the first of it until you would just so burn yourself out till you lose all the zeal that you have. And how that we need the Holy Spirit to teach us sometimes, as Isaiah is speaking to Israel, wait upon the Lord. And if you'll wait, He said, I will renew your strength as an eagle. And how merciful God is to so watch over Israel that He would give them that time to renew their strength, to renew their power. And they're always in favor with God. They're always within His blessings. Yet in Babylonian captivity, God had His mind upon them. His eye was upon them in the midst of captivity. God had His eye upon them. Oh, it makes me feel good tonight. I said in the middle of trouble, God had His eye upon them. In the middle of sickness, God has His eye upon them. When they're there in the dungeon and they're oppressed and they're down and they're discouraged, I want to remind you, God had His eye upon them. Hallelujah. And even that they had been there, and no doubt they had been sold into it, just like the church got sold into sin. As it was in the Ephesus church age, when God begins to tell the Ephesian church, as He even told them many years ago, He said, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee because thou hast left thy first love. And we would think that God would be so judgmental that if they have left the first love, then that God would just be done with them and He would just be finished with them. But that's only half of the story. Because God said, if you will remember from whence thou hast fallen from. I'm talking about God that has given them an opportunity to be restored, a chance to be renewed, a chance to be redeemed. And He said, remember from which thou art fallen and repent. And God's telling them to remember. And how that you and I need to remember sometimes. We must never forget who we are. We must never forget what God has done for us. And Satan is so quick to make us forget what we have been through to get to this place that we are in right now. I think of the trouble that you went through to get to that spot where you're sitting right now. the task that you have failed, but then went repeated the task, and then you overcome it to get to the next step. But yet, here you are tonight in the house of God. What a great victory is for you just to be in the house of God tonight. Had Satan got his way, you'd been on a bar stool somewhere. Had Satan got his way, you'd be strung out on drugs or strung out on alcohol or somewhere in the world looking to the things of the world. But by God's grace and mercy, He wants you to remember you are here receiving His blessings and love. I want to just remind you of a few scriptures, even in the book of Isaiah, and I want to remind you of a few scriptures that I think we need to remember lest we forget what God can do for us. For Isaiah said, seek you the Lord while He may be found. Amen. Call upon His name while He is near. Isaiah says, let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord. If he's left, let him return. If he's been gone, let him come back to where he had fell from. And He will have mercy upon him. And to our God, for He will abundantly pardon. He doesn't want to just exchange equally. He will abundantly pardon you by His mercy and His grace. David goes on to say the sacrifices of God in Psalms 51:17. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit and a broken and a contrite heart, O God, Thou will not despise. Again in Psalms 103:10, He had not dealt with us after our sins. That's mercy. That's love. That's grace. That's forgiveness. He's not dealt with us after the measure of our sins. He's not dealt with us after the measure of our iniquity. He said, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. But then He says, for as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward them that fear Him. Brother, those are some things I need to remember when it comes to my humanity. When it comes to my flesh, I need to remember these scriptures. When it comes to my faults and my failures and my mistakes, these are the things that God wants us to remember in His Word of what kind of a God that we really serve tonight. Our God is not a legalistic God like a lot of people want Him to be. If you do wrong, then God will kill you. You make a mistake, you're done. You make a mistake around this message, people will be finished with you. They're done. Want nothing to do with you. But listen, that may be the way man is, but that ain't the way God is. Hallelujah. God's never been a God like that. He's a God that is merciful. He's a God full of kindness. He's a God full of love. Yes, He's a God of judgment. Yes, He's a God to be able to bring us to the place we need to be of chastisement. But let me remind you, that chastisement is because of who you are. He remembers who you are, and He'll only let you go so far before He pulls you back. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so is God's great mercy toward them that fear Him. And then David tells us in verse 12, as far, amen somebody. If you've ever went across the sea in an airplane and it takes you all night to get there, as me and Brother Darrell come back from France the other day, I thought of this scripture, how long it has taken us just to fly back to the States and even over to Europe, how long that it takes us. And David says, as far as the east is from the west. Brother, who can stretch a line upon it, upon God's mercy? Who can put a line? Who can measure the justice of God? Who can measure the love of God? Who can measure the forgiveness of God? As the east is far from the west, so far as He removed our transgressions from us. Again, Isaiah says it in Isaiah 1:18, come now and let us reason together. But let's say, come and let us talk about it. Come and let us discuss it. Come and let us have a conversation. Remember what Hebrews said in Hebrews chapter 13. It said, let's consider the end of our conversation. What's the end of our conversation? Remember that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The end of our conversation is the mercy that God has for us. It's how merciful He's always been to you. It's the love that He's always bestowed upon you. Brother, God is a God of love tonight. And He loves to show His pardon and grace. He loves to pick you up when you're down. He loves to encourage you when you're discouraged. Come and let us us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, though your sins are as scarlet, they shall be. I love the thou shalls of the Bible. They shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Not maybe. God's not proclamating something of maybe or it could be or it might be. He's letting you know it's written in my word. It's already been spoken. It's already been said. It's already been declared from my lips, and I can't change my mind about my word. And I'm telling you, they shall be white as wool. He's a God of forgiveness. He's a God that renews us. He's also a God of revival. He's a God that refreshes us. As Isaiah said, He's a God that renews us. But remember, He's also a God of revival. I love the words of revival, redemption, restoration. Think about it. Renewing. What is it? It's because the word R-E means again. Redemption means that you had to be a part of it before. To be able to be redeemed, you had to be part of the deemed. Hallelujah. You had to be a part of the deemed to begin with. And if you wasn't a part of the deemed, if you wasn't a part of it, you can't be redeemed unless you was already a part of it. Redeemed. Redemption. Restore. He's a God of redemption. He's a God of renewing. He's a God that brings strength to the weak. Can I brag about my God for a little bit? Can I tell you what He's done for you? He's a God that brings strength to those who are feeble. He's a God that brings back the strength when all their strength is gone. And they spent all their ability. They spent everything that they had. He's a God that can bring strength back to the weary. He can bring joy back to the sad. He can bring happiness back to the depressed. Believe it, I don't like preaching like that. I like a clothesline. But tonight you're going to hear a God of mercy. Because the dynamics of this church is a refilling of the Holy Spirit. He's a God, and in order to have it, we have to have revival. And America itself, as a nation, will never have another revival. America has spurned their day of grace away. Never to have revival ever again. And Reverend told us that. And I'm not saying that to be negative tonight. I say that to be honest with you. That America cannot possess revival. She has sinned her damn grace away. There's no revival in our public. There's no revival in the churches of this America. Amen, somebody. Reverend told us that America has turned down the gospel. She has turned down this message. Amen, somebody. I said there's no revival for those who turns it down. For those who rejects the word, there's no more revival for them. Amen. You realize there's not enough preachers that can change that fact. Not enough pastors can change that. The prophet can't change that. God gives you an opportunity at it, and you have to accept what God has done. But the mercy side of it is those who are called according to His name. Those who believe the word. Those who stand upon it. Living in this world that has rejected it. There's going to be times that you're going to need your strength renewed. You're going to need a refilling from time to time. Amen. America's not going to have revival. The churches of America's not going to have revival. The ecumenical system that's moving now, there is no revival in that. Amen, Brother David. It ain't nothing but a mark of the beast leading every one of them right to the tribulation period. Amen, somebody. Because they're more interested in membership than what they are, a real Holy Ghost filled experience with Almighty God. They don't want an experience like that. They don't want an experience that costs them everything. They don't want an experience that turns them into a Christ-like person. They don't want a God like that. They want a sweet, polite, crying Jesus. That's a Jesus of your imagination. Amen, somebody. But it's a double-edged sword. Which side do you want to be on tonight? I said He's a God of mercy. Then it's another edged sword. Which side would you want to fall upon tonight? Think of that. What's What's he doing? He's offering you everlasting life. He's offering you joy. He's offering you peace. He's offering you everything you need. All you have to do is come unto here. All the heavy laden and burdened, come unto me, and I'll give you rest. People want a non-offensive gospel. I got invited this week to preach in a Baptist church. I just kind of chuckled a little bit about it. Said, yeah, I'll be glad to go. You better believe it. But I understand people want a non-offensive Jesus. Everybody wants a Jesus that dedicates babies, buries the dead, marries the people. But they don't want a Jesus that stands in the temple and turns tables over. They don't want a Jesus that puts a whip in his hand. But I want the Jesus of the scripture. I want a Jesus of this Bible tonight. If he wants to take and break me down and bring me back to the altar, I say, God, I'm willing to go where you want me to go. If he wants me to soar on the wings of eagle, I'm willing to soar. If he wants me to get down, I'll get down. If he wants to raise me up, I'll raise up. That's why God has sent this end time renewing, this refreshing, this refilling. And I'll tell you, revival, refreshing, redemption, renewing isn't something that's coming, but it's something that's already here. Amen. Because it took the revealing of those seven thunders. Amen. And those seven thunders has brought rapture and faith to the believer. It's brought rapture and faith to the bride. And God has revealed to us as sons of God. We are a part of this great end time mystery. Because I believe we have received a rapturing revelation. We've seen a message of a rapture. We've seen the taking of God, taking and healing the bodies naturally, which is only the children's bread, to bring the real meat of the chains of the body one day. And I just believe that this rapture and revelation has some stimulation that goes with it. It won't dry you up and dry you out. That's not the gospel that we believe in tonight. We believe in a gospel that's got some stimulation behind it. Brother, I refuse to let my children grow up around a message church that's just dry and dead and twice plucked up by the roots. We must be in a church where people believe in worship. We must be in a place where our seeds can mature. We must be in a place that we can be harvested and ready for the rapture. They're not as scared to say amen. They're not as scared to tell God, Lord, whatever you want to say to me tonight, Lord, I'm your open book tonight. Speak to my heart. We've seen some things in this day. Amen. We've had the pillar of fire come present in our day. We've had a fire by night. We've had the cloud by day. I'm talking about what we have received. We've got a picture of a mighty angel. Not some weak, distraught angel, but it's a mighty angel. Amen, somebody. Not a puny, not a weak angel, but the Bible said a mighty angel. A mighty angel. He's able to take care of any need we got. He's able to take care of any trouble that we got. He's a mighty angel tonight. And I believe that angel's in this building this evening. He is here by purpose. He's here by design. He's here for the purpose of deliverance. He's here to meet every need in this building. That's the anointing that we're under. We're under Christ the Word. That's the anointing that we're working under tonight. We don't have to try to manufacture some type of refilling. We don't have to try to manufacture some type of a revival. We can't manufacture it. It just follows where we are. We're not a group of people that's looking for a sign and then you run after this man's sign or this man, he's got a sign and you run after that sign. That ain't what my Bible tells me. But the Bible said these signs shall follow them. Not you hunting, not you searching, not you looking. But he said these signs shall follow them that believes. Brother, that's the mystery of Mark 16 is you must believe what God has done in this day. And if you believe, these signs shall follow you.
That's what he's done. We can't have sheep can't help but bear wool. He don't have to try to manufacture something different than what he is. He's a sheep and he just produces what he is. I'm like Paul, I am what I am. By the grace of God tonight. I have what I have because of his renewing. I am what I am because of his refilling. I am what I am because of his refreshing. Amen. Brother Brown tells us in the message of the resurrection. He said what we need is a good old fashioned Holy Ghost sent revival. Being back to believing the word of God. Hallelujah. That God will take care of us like he did in the old days. He will take care of us today. Do you believe that? Amen. And God will take care of us. And what we need today is another refilling. Another refilling. Just like the disciples 3 days. Some of you trying to test an experience or trust it. A trusted experience that they had 10 years ago. That's all right. But what about today? You need one today. Today is the day. Sure, a filling. The disciples about 3 or 4 days after they received the Holy Ghost went back and got in and one accord and began to pray again. They began to pray again until the Holy Ghost shook the building that they were sitting in. What we need, that's what we need tonight. That's what we need tonight. We must come together to the house of God in one mind, in one accord, for one purpose, and that's to receive the refreshing and the refilling of the Holy Ghost. Brother David, I got a refilling 2 months ago. I got a refilling 6 months ago. That was good for 6 months ago. But we need the Holy Ghost every day, every day, every day, every day, Brother Ram says. We need a constant refilling. That's why we get down sometimes. That's why we get so discouraged sometimes. It's because we're not seeking a real refilling. We go to Him with needs. We go to Him with problems. But have you went to Him with a real refilling desire in your heart? These were Jews that had come together. These men had differences. They had differences in opinions. But when it come to the things of God, glory, when it come to the things of God, they come in one mind and one accord. Woo, glory. Each one had a different testimony. Each one had a different thought. Each one had a different way they thought was it. But when it come to this Holy Ghost, when it come to that real, true, genuine Holy Ghost, let me tell you some young people, when it comes to that Holy Ghost, do not accept the substitute of some man's idea. Don't accept the substitute of a preacher's idea. Make sure you got the genuine Holy Ghost. And if you get that type of Holy Ghost, it'll keep you when nothing else will. If your friends leave, it'll keep you. If your daddy leaves, it'll keep you. If your mama leaves, it'll keep you. Woo, glory. Feel my preacher coming on. It'll keep you when ain't nobody else likes you. When everybody turns their back on this message, the Holy Ghost will keep you. For he said he will lead you and guide you. Into all truth, he will keep you there. You won't have to worry about it. You get the real Holy Ghost. You won't look for a fictional Jesus. You won't look for an intellectual Jesus. You'll want a Jesus that's the same yesterday, today, and forever. They went there for one reason. To be endued with power from on high. Because they had lived below and they had strength. But God tells them, think about Isaiah 40. But God tells them, after all this captivity, after all this law, after all this judgment, I'm going to send you something down from above. You possessed all the troubles beneath. You've seen all the mess that's going on underneath. But this is going to be something that's going to endue you from on high. But this ain't something that mortality knows anything about. I'm talking about a real supernatural God coming down and anointing the human instrumentality so much it seals that soul, Brother Skip, and Satan can no longer get to you no matter what trick he tries to play, no matter what he tries to do. If you get that seal inside of your soul, there's no devil in hell can take it away. He was there to be endued from power from on high. God's not asking them how many likes cherry pie compared to apple pie. How many likes milk with their pie compared to water with their pie? They went there to one thing. They all had to agree upon the fact that we need this power to endue us from on high. We need us. Peter needed something that would keep him from doubting. Amen, somebody. I said Peter needed him. He needed this God. He needed this experience. And I'm going to tell you, Peter, you need this experience. John's biggest trouble was John. Luke's biggest problem was Luke. Ain't no sense of stating the obvious. You deal with him every day. Amen, somebody. It's an everyday. It's an everyday. It's an everyday. We use it as an experience for Wednesday or Saturday or Sunday. But remember, God reminds us it's an everyday experience. That's why we need a fresh, up-to-date experience with God. If it's just something God did for you 25 years ago, don't tell me. Don't tell me, little eagles, you're not going to need some renewing. Don't tell me you're not going to go through a molting process. Don't tell me there ain't going to be days that you get down. We all need a refilling. We all need our strength renewed unto us. I'm talking about an Acts 4 experience. How many believes you can still get that? I believe it's just as real right now as it ever has been. You think about it. I said when Babylon is coming upon us and trouble's all around us and the soothsayers and the doubters is coming up, what do we need? We need to go back to the room. Back to the well to draw again and say, God, I need you to fill me so full. Lord, fill me till I boil over. Fill me till I can't take no more. Lord, I need a real refilling of it. He tells them in Acts chapter 4 verse 29. He said, oh Lord, behold their threatenings and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness that they may speak thy word. By stretching forth thy hand to heal that signs and wonders may be done by the name of the Holy Child Jesus. And when they had prayed, whoo, glory. Not when they listened to a tape. Not when they was reading their Bibles. But when it become personal to them, that they was in speaking distance with them. And they know that when they asked that God was listening to them. Nothing wrong with listening. Nothing wrong with reading your Bible. But there's a time where you really got to get sincere before God. And you bring that personal one-on-one. Not with just what he has said in his word, which is him. But you need to speak to him. Let to hear. And let him commune with you. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken. Oh, I love that. God knows how to shake some stuff up, don't he? The place was shaken where they were assembled together. And they were all filled, A-L-L, all filled with the Holy Ghost. And they spake the word of God with boldness. Somewhere along the line, they had let their strength get low. They had let the strength that they had, the real zeal for God, the real zeal to say something for him. The boldness somehow in just a few days, Brother Terry, had left them. And they're asking God, give us that Holy Spirit that we can take and preach your word with boldness. We can stand upon the word for this day. But ain't that what we need around this message? When you're relying upon experience that you had with this message 25 years ago, these men 4 days later needed a real renewing. Amen. And they received it. They had it on the day of Pentecost. You agree with that? But again, they're filled. I said again, they're filled. And I want to tell you that is the promise for every believer in this building. I'm not saying you're not got the Holy Ghost. I'm not saying you ain't had an experience with God. I'm not saying that you ain't had a birthday. Amen, somebody. You may have been sealed by the seal of God to the day of redemption. I know nothing can touch that. But there is also a promise of a refilling of the Holy Ghost. Barham tells us the message forsaken all, and I'm going to hurry. And may from this place go find preachers, young men, the call of God upon their life to go to the mission fields. Wherever they may be called, grant it, Lord. And tonight, while we're assembled together, may the Holy Spirit come. Get into the Word. And just plant the seed in every heart that's in here. And may we with faith water it day and night. Until it's grown into great trees for the glory of God. And heal every sick person, Lord, that's here tonight. Save every lost person. Those that's sick. Those that's lost. Wait a minute, there's another group in there. And bring all the backsliders. And renew and refill those who had been filled before. received the Holy Ghost before but had went low in their experience and needs a renewing, needs a refilling. Lord, I want you to raise them up like you do the sick. Lord, I want you to raise them up like you did the lost. And I want you to save the lost, those who had the ghost and their experiences went dry and the well seems empty. Refill them. I'll read in the book of Titus chapter 3 verse 4. But after the kindness and the love of God, our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness, and the church said, which we have done, but according to His mercy. And I said, according to His mercy, He has saved us by the washing of, there it is again, regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. How many believe there's a renewing of the Holy Ghost? It's for every person in this building. It's for the old just as much as it is for the young. It's for the new. It's for those that's just come in. It's for those that's been here just a few months. It's for those that's been serving God for 25 and 30 and 40 years. He tells you there is a promise that you can have. You can have joy unspeakable and full of glory. You can have a real refilling, a real renewing of the Holy Spirit. It's what we all need. A real fresh, listen to the terminology, a real fresh, up-to-date experience with God. I said up-to-date experience with God. Ain't a person in this room, not unless you're crazy, going to take your milk after it's about 3 weeks old and start pouring it out in your cereal bowl. You know why it's out of date? How many likes taking bread? You go in there and there's green all over the bread and you take it home and say, man, I'm going to make myself a good sandwich and man, I'm really going to enjoy this. Who in their right mind would want something that's out of date? Nobody wants something that's out of date. We want the fresh of the fresh. We want that. Amen. Brother, when it comes to food, we want something fresh off the grill. We want something made and it's so good and the smell, the fragrance comes before you and it gets you so ready to eat it. That's the way our experience should be with God. And when we come to the house of God, we say, God, I need a fresh, up-to-date experience. The dynamics of this church. Amen. The dynamics of this church will be a refilling of the Holy Spirit. Do you know what he's talking about? The rapture. The rapture. I said the rapture will be a refilling of the Holy Spirit. It's been working by pieces and part and a small measure up to now. But now that the capstone has descended and the Word of God has come open and the seals has been ripped off, now you can have a refilling underneath that capstone ministry. You can have it under a prophetic ministry of the Son of Man. We've worked in a small measure while the headstone's coming. We all have. So we all have. Some started in Pentecost, some in Baptist. You got something about maybe just a small measure until that capstone descended. I said not the feet, the head. The head to the body. When he descends, you don't have to have pieces and parts. You don't have just have anointing with you. It's not just justification or just sanctification that you receive. It's not just restoration of gifts. But there's a ministry that you come under in the end time. It's called a headstone, capstone ministry. And there's a refilling under that ministry that like no other age has received. You can receive that token life inside of you. And by that refilling, and I ain't got time to get into it tonight, it's hard to stay out of it. And by that refilling, it'll literally catch you up into the air. Not Billy Graham, not L. Roberts, not A.A. Allen. Amen, somebody. But when you come underneath that prophetic Son of Man, a Son of Man, revealing the Son of Man, Jesus Christ, the refilling under that ministry will pull the dead right out of the graves. Hallelujah! It'll literally take the dead and the graves will give up the dead and it'll change you in a moment in a twinkle of an eye. That's the dynamics. That's the dynamics of this church. That's the refilling. Amen, somebody. We're living into that quote. The quote's not future. The dynamics of this church. That's why we need services where the Holy Spirit comes and waters us. That's why we need to create an atmosphere that the Holy Ghost can have His way. That's why the preacher can do his part and the musicians can do their part and the soul leader can do his part. But what about your part tonight? We need a Holy Ghost. We need dynamics to live it. So, Brother David, I can't live it. You need this dynamic I'm talking about. Brother David, I can't keep it. You need this dynamic we're talking about. But what if I fall? The dynamic will pick you up. What if I get down? He'll renew your strength. What if I go out? He'll drag you back in. You don't go in the rapture without the refilling of it. Amen. Why, Brother David? Why would we need such a thing? Why would God do such a thing as that? Because He's always been a God of renewing. He's always been a God of redemption. He's always been a God of restoring. My mind goes back to Genesis. And I think of how that after Adam had failed, God didn't come down to pronounce judgment upon him. Oh God, He's not coming to the garden with judgment on His mind, murder on His mind. He's coming with mercy on His mind. He comes in the garden at this time. Adam and Eve had hid themselves, the Bible said, from the presence of God. And but I said, God came down into that garden. And God went running to that garden, screaming to Adam, Adam, where art thou? You know what blows my mind about that? And this came to me the other day. An all-knowing God asking Adam, where art thou? But Terry, he knowed. He knowed. He wasn't injecting self-amnesia upon himself to forget. God knowed where he was. He knowed where Adam was. But he was wanting Adam to know where Adam was. God was giving Adam a space to repent. He was showing him mercy and grace and love and favor. Had Adam been around this message, we'd kicked him out and said, don't you ever come back around this message again. But to show that God's more merciful than man many times. I think of a man in the scripture. I think of a man by the name of David. David is, he's one of God's generals. David's a mighty soldier for God. He's a victor. He's a conqueror. Amen. But I want to remind you that David within his flesh, he fell. And he found himself in sin. He found himself in this state for this condition. And this condition that he had gotten himself into, it could have destroyed the kingdom. Think about it, church. Here he has found Bathsheba. This act wasn't just an act of involuntary, but I want to tell you, this act produced a seed. I said sin always produces unbelief. And the offspring from this union outside the Word, God judges it, and the baby dies. Are you hearing me now? This baby has died, and here is David. Here is David as God's soldier. He's upset. He's crying. He's wounded. God, don't, please don't kill the baby. Friends, the baby didn't do nothing. The baby was innocent. The baby's not guilty. But I want to show you, God portrays something. From the act of unbelief, God portrays something. He takes the innocent. Glory! In order for the man to live, he took an innocent. Don't you see redemption? He took an innocent child. Don't you see that his cross? Christ was innocent, but he stood for every David. I thought today, What would have happened had that seed not died for this act? It could have destroyed the kingdom. And God knows exactly what has to come out of David that would be according to God's word. And then after the renewing, he births a Solomon. After the refreshing. Come on, somebody. After the refreshing, after the renewing, he produces a Solomon, which would be the son of David. Glory. David writes in the scripture in the book of Psalms chapter 51, after the fall from Beersheba, David says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit. Renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not the Holy Spirit from me. And restore. I love the reeds, don't you? Renew. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Hold me with thy free spirit. Withhold me with thy free spirit. It literally means give me a willingness. Give me a willingness. Give me a real zeal to want to keep your word. You realize when we lose our willingness to obey God, that's where we get in trouble at. When we lose our obedience of going to church or paying our tithes or obedience to prayer or obedience to reading our Bible, listen, friends, that's when we get us in trouble at. It's because we lose that real expectation. We lose that real zeal to want to serve Him and do something for Him. God, please. Give me the joy that comes with my salvation. Give me the joy. You know, David, he couldn't lose his salvation. Hallelujah. But I said he couldn't lose his salvation. So he's not asking God to re-save me. He's not asking God, Lord, just take me down the altar, Lord, and just do it all over again. That's not the way God does us. But he says, Lord, bring back that joy that I lost. Can I say in our language, whatever we have shoved out on the lip, bring it back. If the doubt is left, bring it back. Ooh, he knew what it was. David knew what it was for the anointing to move over him. He knew what it was to have the Spirit of God so move him that he could do things that 100 men couldn't do on their own. Almighty says, God, I need that zeal that I once had. David knows what it was to feel the Spirit of God move. He knew what it was to have victories. He knew it was the power of God that brought him as a conqueror. He knew what it meant to have the anointing flow upon him. And he'd come under the anointing so much that no Amalekite could stop him. No Amorite could stop him. No giant, no Philistine could stop him. David can remember. He can remember what it was when he had strength. But David got to the place where he quit fighting like he used to fight. He quit going out with the men to fight in the battles like he used to. He started sitting around the castle. Letting everybody else do the praying. Let everybody else do the studying. Let everybody else do the reading. Let everybody else do the prayer. Come on, somebody. What happened is that David's strength that would always keep him strong began to leave him. David lost his victory. It's easy to let somebody else do all the work. Amen. That's where we get in trouble at. When we let somebody else try to pray for us without us praying ourselves. When we let the pastor do all the studying. Amen. That's when we lose it. You realize when you just become dependent upon Wednesday night and Saturday night and Sunday morning, you've already lost the battle. I need those services like you do. But let me tell you, if you can take some strength and begin to eat out of that old honey bucket on Monday and Tuesday and Thursday and Friday and start building your strength back up. When you come to this building, it won't be a time of renewal. It'll be a time of revival. I can see how David, he can remember the dynamics of his revival. What What must it have been that once you feel so weak and puny and down and weary, he starts remembering how the anointing fell when Samuel had looked over the rest of these men that were stronger and by the eye would have been better men to do the job. But he went and got a little ruddy boy out of the shepherd's field. Hallelujah. He brings him in there, pulls a horn of oil over his head. David can remember what it was when he stood in the midst of his brethren and he became anointed. I said he stood right in the middle of the church and he got anointed by the Holy Ghost so much that the anointing ran down through his beard, dripped down upon his legs and his arms and his hands. Those arms that would stand by the strength of God. Those hands that would take a sword and plunge through the heart of the enemy. Those feet that would stand on top of Goliath. David couldn't remember the dynamics of his revival. The Bible said the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. Think about that. The Spirit fell upon him at that moment. From that time, he was given power.
Amen.
See what I'm preaching? I said he'd received the initial of it. He'd received it before. He can't remember it unless he'd had it. He cannot ask for renewing unless he'd already possessed it. He can remember the dynamics of his revival and how he got this power. And he knows where this power come from. And let me tell you this, friends. Don't never forget where your power comes from. We get it from Jehovah. It's when he falls upon your life that he adues you. It's when he falls upon these services. Listen, friends, it's not just meeting in a building, coming to see one another. It's got to be more than that today. See, it's when the dynamics happens within your own life. That's when you get healed. That's when people get healed. That's when young people get the Holy Ghost. That's when the anointing comes down.
Amen.
I love it. Yes, it makes a difference.
Amen.
Don't matter how much you can quote from the Bible, how revelated you are. It's when Jehovah comes down. That's the difference.
Amen.
You know the difference between Happy Valley and every other church in this area? It's when the Holy Ghost comes down. And she has favor with Almighty God. And he comes down and falls upon these services. And he takes a man's heart and he directs him a certain way to say something that you can realize, hey, maybe I've just been molting a little bit. Maybe I've just been weary or down. I need a renewing, a refreshing. David's fall from grace. The Holy Spirit's departed. David had seen this before. David's very much aware. But what happens when a man steps out of his position? Because David saw it by first-hand basis what had happened unto Saul. Whenever Saul began to go after man's ways besides God's ways. Because from that day on, the Bible said that an evil spirit had begun to trouble Saul. And David now, as he's here in this moment of Psalms 51, in this moment underneath this view, David can remember and reflect back upon what had happened to Saul and how Saul had let the same thing come in and it destroyed the temple. He'd seen Saul. Saul got the attitude that he failed and refused to repent. He refused to see himself making mistakes. He refused to see himself in his humanity and how it come up short all the time. Brothers and sisters, don't ever forget that. He refused to find a heart of repentance. He refused to come before God and become soft before God. Amen, somebody. Not only did Saul refuse to repent, but he refused to listen to the prophet of the age. I said the fall of Saul's kingdom is when he refused to listen to the word prophet of the day. Brother, when you refuse to listen to God's voice for the day, that's when you will be destroyed as well.
Amen.
The Bible said in 1 Samuel 16:14, the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul and an evil spirit from the
Lord
troubled him.
Right.
It troubled him. He's so troubled. And Brother Ram tells us how it made him act in the message, Great Warrior David. Oh, listen to this statement. I'll hurry. They went on back down. The Spirit departed from Saul. His back slid and went so far away. He went so far away from God until the Spirit had left him and an evil spirit's place, and it come upon Saul. Now watch the way an evil spirit works on somebody. Everybody agree? Saul was all delete. Saul was all moody and in bad humor, kicking things around, and all sorts, like some people gets on Monday morning. That's just to keep you from being embarrassed. He was all out of sorts all the time. Do you know that's an evil spirit? That's exactly right. The doctors couldn't do him any good. They had a lot of doctors down there, but they couldn't help that. It was a spiritual condition. So one of the men had passed around and seen a few places. He said, we know where a little divine healer's at. Why, who would that be? He said, Jesse's got a son out there. Glory to God. Jesse didn't only have a son out there. God had a son out there. Yeah, he's a divine healer. Sure he was. He healed by music. Amen. Amen. He healed by music. Amen. Don't you realize, friends, that's the reason music, it has such a monumental part in our lives, is because that music can lead us one way or the other. It can get us to the place where healing can be absorbed by the Word. That's what he did. He had a gift of casting out evil spirits. And the Holy Ghost hadn't come in those days, so he cast them out by music, playing the words of the Lord. And the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Watch the word. He restoreth my soul. Brother Jim, he knew. He knew as a shepherd, there must have been times as a shepherd he needed this renewing and restoring, or he would have never said it. He restored my soul. When I'm by myself out in the middle of nowhere, the Holy Spirit would come down and restore my soul. He leading me beside the still waters, and it disturbed the evil spirit so much that they left Saul. But I hope you got that kind of relationship with God. I'm talking about disturbing spirits. I said not inviting them or comforting them, disturbing them. And David in Psalms 51 is remembering this. As he would come in there and felt so out of place as it would be. He comes in there and takes his harp. This harp he has, he begins to play it before Saul. No doubt he's nervous. No doubt he's scared of what might happen here. This man is maybe sitting there with his face in his hands. He's all out of sorts. He's all moody and down. And David just slides in there and just starts playing his harp. And the music from those strings off of the hand of the anointed begins to leave this harp and move from this man's anointed fingers and begins to enter into the heart of Saul until it begins to disturb that spirit that is down, glory to God, that is down inside of Saul, until that spirit realizes, I can't stay in this kind of an atmosphere. There's something about that anointing. There's something about that boy over there. I can't stay around it. I remember it so plain. He can remember it. He can remember as he finds favor with Saul. And he begins to fight on the Lord's side. Glory. He remembers what it would be to be out there in the middle of the night. Now that he would take that harp and begin to sing songs to God. And the Holy Spirit would just brood over him. And night after night, he said it would restore my soul. It would restore my soul. Over and over again, I remember laying out underneath the stars, and the Spirit of the Lord would come down as I was laying there beside my sheep watching over them. As me as a shepherd watching over my sheep, the Lord is my shepherd watching over His sheep. Glory! He restored my soul. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. I remember what it was when a lion would come in. And Brother Ram said he didn't have nothing on him besides a slingshot. Glory. And a lion came in and stole just one of his sheep. Not 50, not 100, not 200. He stole one sheep, and David went after that one sheep armed with only a slingshot. That's daddy's sheep. That ain't my sheep. That's my daddy's sheep. What kind of shepherd would David be if he just let the lions come in and take whatever they wanted? Let the bears come in and take whatever they wanted? I'm going to tell you, friends, that lion could not take a sheep without getting a fight to go with it. Hallelujah! Father, let me tell you something. Satan can't come against one of daddy's sheep without a fight coming with it. If he wants me, there's going to be a fight that's going to come with it. If he wants you, there's going to be a fight that comes with it. David knows the danger of sheep because of their weight distribution. He has to watch where they're feeding at. Because if they get on a hill and fall, a sheep doesn't possess the ability to get back on his feet by himself. Glory to God. David refers to it when he spoke in the book of Psalms, and he says, and he's using shepherd terminology, "Why art thou cast down, O soul? Why art thou cast down, O soul?" That's shepherd terminology. Because a cast down is what a shepherd calls a sheep that has fallen. Glory. And it's one of the saddest sights is when a sheep has been laid down and it becomes rolled over on its back and its feet is sticking straight up in the air and it can't get back into position to get back up on its feet without some help from somewhere. I said it needs a helper. It needs a strength giver. It needs a mighty hand to help it. They say when a sheep gets down, he becomes so nervous and contrary from trying to get himself back up. But it starts building the gases up within its body. Until finally it starts suffocating the sheep. And the sheep lays there long enough. Glory! I said if you lay there long enough, it'll eventually kill you. The blood, glory! The blood will stop circulating through the legs. For the legs are up in the air and it can't circulate while the sheep was on its back like it needs to. And the blood stops. So I said the blood ain't moving on you like it needs to. It ain't moving through you like it needs to. Your circulation is getting down and you need some better circulation of the blood. Glory to God. But because the shepherd is a watchman, he don't go out there and kick the sheep. He don't go out there and beat the sheep. Jesus never said beat the sheep. He said feed the sheep. David remembers when the sheep would get down, he would have to restore it and renew it back to its original condition. Glory to God. And he would take, and he wouldn't just turn him back all at once. But he would tenderly start massaging its stomach. And slowly he would roll it over. And before he prepares to lift it up, he begins to massage its legs. Tenderly, gently, he begins to massage its legs until the blood starts circulating like it needs to. I said the hands of the shepherd on a fallen sheep starts renewing the blood circulation. Hallelujah! Oh, what the shepherd's willing to do.
Amen.
They must have a shepherd. Because when a sheep feeds, there's all kinds of trails that has been left through the hills. They didn't have highways and fences like we have now. But they would have trails everywhere. And some wild animals would make these trails. And David would talk about how that God leadeth me down the right path. Because David was a shepherd and he understood, as a shepherd, I must lead my sheep down the right path. Glory! And the sheep will just keep watching and keep eating and eating and eating without watching where he's going until finally he'll meander down the wrong path and get himself down the face of danger. Glory. So the shepherd's job is to watch what path you go down, to make sure that you're going down the right path at the right time of the right day. You're not out feeding some other man's message. And David will watch over these sheep, and he remembers as a young man, as a shepherd, he would take and watch over these sheep. I remember it. But he's backslid. He's out of sorts with God. I remember what it felt like to overcome. He can remember what it felt like just as a young man to slay a giant. I can remember it. I can remember it. And David can also remember when the ark began to come back. David remembers the anointing that fell on him. When the reality of that original word coming back, it moved upon him. And the Bible said that David danced. Lord, I remember what it was when I could dance so free. I remember what it was when I could raise my hands without reserve. I remember what it was when I could open up my heart and sing with everything I got to the top of my voice. It's because of my love for you. And Lord, I remember the dynamics of my revival. I can remember the peace that I had. I can remember it, but it's gone now. It feels so strange. It feels so lonely. It feels so stagnant, so cold. His spirit's broken. His mind only possesses guilt and shame of what he's done. He had a man killed, put on the front lines and killed a man, murdered him. Just as much as he'd done it by his own hands, and the church said, just as much as he'd done it by his own hands. Why is the king's decree? I remember. And David becomes so moved by what he used to be that he starts saying this: create. If you've got to create in me a clean heart. If my heart has gotten dirty, it's defiled, I need you to create something. David's letting God know, I know you're a creator. I know you're a creator. You've restored my soul. You've done it many, many times. You've given me strength when I didn't have none. Created me a clean heart. And I need you to renew my spirit. Because my spirit is broken. It's a mess. I've went out and made this mistake. I've done that. I've caused this man to die. I need you. God, I want to tell you something. Please, cast me not away. Cast me not away. Please, God, don't just throw me away. I've made mistakes. I've had trouble. I've had problems. I've had trials. Lord, I know I'm guilty of it. But I said, David, a man after God's own heart, he was always so quick to repent. He's quick to repent. And he says, Lord, please don't cast me away. Cast me not away from thy presence. And I beg you, God, please don't take your Holy Spirit from me. I need your Holy Spirit to keep me on Monday when I wake up. When I go to work, I need your Holy Spirit. When I get down, I need your Holy Spirit. Please, God, cast me not away from thy presence. And lastly, Lord, I need some restoration. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. He's to the point he can't even call it his. So he calls it whose it really is. He calls it thine. Restore. I need redemption. I need restoration. I need a renewing. I need it. I need it the way Isaiah spoke to the Israel when they was in Babylonian captivity. I need you, Lord, to renew me like the strength of an eagle. For Lord, I am in a molting process. You realize it's not the immature eagles that molt. It's the mature eagles. Those that have flew. Those that have soared in the heights. Those that had to fight for their meat. Amen! It's those that get through a molting process, the mature eagles. It's when they start getting older and they've got a lot of miles underneath them. Preach, somebody. I said they got a lot of wind that's held them up over the years. They go through a molten stage and them old feathers begin to fall out and some young tender feathers begin to flourish upon that great eagle, and his face becomes all crusted over. And Brother Brown said he'd take that beak and begin to peck it against that rock. Now that's what we need tonight. We need to peck against the rock of ages. Hide me, let me hide myself in thee. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. And uphold me.
Amen.
And uphold me. I can't do it by myself. I need you to do it. I don't have the strength on my own. I need your strength. Lord, give me that joy back. Give me the joy that I used to have when I come to church years ago. Give me the joy I used to have when I first come to this church right here. And whatever you come out of. Restore the joy that it was when I got off of that altar. And I felt, man, I can do anything. You remember when you felt like a son of God? You got to be serving God for a little while. I know what I'm talking about when I say that. Because after that, you go through hell and trouble and all kinds of trials. You start not feeling like one so much sometimes. Restore it unto me. I love what Brother Bram says, the question and answers. He said Israel backslid. Israel backslid. But they never lost their covenant. Glory. Their praise, their joy. David lost the joy of his salvation when he took Bathsheba, Uriah's wife. But he never lost his salvation. He never said, restore to me my salvation. He said, restore to me the joy of my salvation. I need it back. I need it back the way it was. Bring it back somehow, God. If you got to create it, create it. I want to know what it was like. I want to feel the way I used to feel. But Rem said maybe somewhere along the line that you got sick and the sickness come in. And that sickness has a way of robbing it away from you. Because you used to be strong, but now you're not strong like you used to be. And the older you get, the weaker that you get. Before long, Satan starts zapping all your energy. And you come to church and sometimes you sit here and you don't even feel like being here. I say unto David, restore it unto me. Restore it to me. I fought this sickness so long. I've lost all my strength. I need the great shepherd to come and find out where I fell at. I need him to turn me over. Start massaging my legs. Start massaging my arms. And I need him to take and pick me back up onto my feet. Restore it unto me. Can we bow our hearts as our musicians come tonight? Restore it unto me. Brother Bram says in the message, why? The Holy Spirit's here if you're fallen and weak. If you're lukewarm in your experience. You like to be renewed again. David said it. He said, restore to me the joy of my salvation. See, he hadn't lost his salvation, but he lost all the joy. And I think that goes to about 95% of the church today losing the joy of their salvation. And David said, restore to me the joy of my salvation. Think about that. 95% has lost their joy. Satan knows he can't take your salvation. He knows he can't touch that seed. So he starts trying to rob you of your joy. Your joy of serving you. Your joy of going to church. Some people don't have a joy. They go to church out of obligation and duty and ritual. And they lost that real joy that they used to have. 95% of the church is losing it. And David cried out, restored it unto me. That's what the church needs today. Why Christ speak? Brother Ram said, see, I see some of the tabernacle folks here, and I'm going to say this about the big sister. One thing that the tabernacle needs up there at our church, at the tabernacle at Jeff, is a rededication and a refilling of the Holy Ghost. That's right, everyone to get down to the altar and pray till they get a renewing of the Holy Ghost. And the whole church be filled with the power of God. That's what we need. Not only the tabernacle there, but the body of Christ universal. The body of Christ universal needs a refilling. Needs a refilling. I hate to tell you tonight, but I just believe somewhere within these quotes we fall into this category. Somebody in this building does. And I'll be honest, I have fell into this category many times. Anybody else would say, Lord, I fell into that category. I find my strength being gone. I find my real zeal to want to serve you somehow. I start losing it. I feel so strong when I'm here and the saints are singing and the saints is praying and Brother Donnie's preaching. I feel so strong. I feel like I can do anything. But when I get by myself and I'm in my car all alone, I feel somehow the strength is gone and I'm lonely. I'm by myself. You don't have to be lonely no more. You don't have to be troubled in your spirit. I say, create in me a clean heart. Lord, renew it. Renew it, Father. Anybody else before we pray like to make your hands on the Lord? God bless that hand all over this building. My hands raised this way. Lord, I need it. I need it. Help me never lose the feeling for the people to really want to sincerely give everything that you got to help somebody. Don't you know that's eternal life? Giving your life for others. Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, how we so love you tonight. You mean the world to us. You're everything to my soul. Out of all the things that the Bible would describe you as, I come across this. Lord, it just wouldn't leave me. I couldn't help it. Even when I leave the house this week, this was so much in my spirit. I couldn't get away from it. As I traveled down to South Carolina Wednesday, Lord, I was listening to other things in the message. And I thought, Lord, I want to preach that so bad. But Lord, you wouldn't let me leave this. I'd wake up, go to bed with it on my mind. But Lord, I've done the best that I can do with it. I know it's poor. I ask you to forgive me for that. But somehow, Lord, I learned many years ago that the ministry ain't about winning 50 or 100 or thousands. But I know, Lord, that you've sent me places maybe to speak to one person. And that's all I'm concerned about tonight. And I don't know which one that is tonight, but I come with a warrant against the enemy. Fathers, I stand tonight. I ask that you'd search this congregation as a body. Lord, this is the cream of the crop as far as I'm concerned. The best I've ever preached to, best I've ever been around is the people that I'm preaching to tonight. I see real zeal, dedication to want to serve you. But that being said, oh, how the enemy would love to come and rob the joy. Take the revival away from us. Take the zeal that we have to serve you. The zeal that we have to witness for you. How we love to come and rob it away. Lord, I ask that the great shepherd would come by this building tonight. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I pray, Lord, that if there's a sheep that has fallen down, may you turn it back over and begin to massage it to get that real blood circulating back through the body. Hallelujah. Back through the body again tonight, oh God. Grant it, Lord, I pray. And I ask these favors along with this congregation. Search every heart, search every mind, search every soul in the name of Jesus Christ. And everybody said, amen. Let's stand our feet. Larry, would you sing something for us? Praise be to God. Can we worship Him just for a minute? Can we just love Him for a minute? If you've ever been down and been renewed, what it ought to mean to you tonight. If you've ever been discouraged, if you've ever been that sheep that got put on his back, what it ought to mean to you tonight. To want to have the zeal to help somebody else. Amen.
Create in me a clean heart.
Lord Jesus, start with me, Father.
Oh God.
Yes, Lord. Speak to him now.
And renew right spirit.
Make it more than a song. Make it personal to your soul tonight. Don't worry about those around you. Worry about yourself.
Create in me.
Yes, Lord. Oh, just surrender now. Let the Holy Spirit move.
Oh,
hallelujah.
Oh, and renew a right spirit.
cast it all away, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh. Hallelujah. Let's sing that again. There's power in the name of Jesus. How many believes there is? But if you don't know how weak I am, you don't know how strong He is. You don't know how discouraged I've been. You don't know how great my God is. Amen. Sing that, Brother Harry. Praise God. Can we worship Him just for a minute? We're going to let you go tonight.
There is power.
Yes, there is.
In the name of Jesus. I said there's power in the name of Jesus.
To break every chain, break every chain,
break every chain.
Can He break them, David? Oh, there is power in the name of Jesus. Oh, there is power in the name of Jesus. Oh, there is power in the name of Jesus. What can He do? Break every chain. Well, break every chain. Break every chain. Oh, glory to God. Oh, there is power in the blood of Jesus. Oh, yes, there's power. Oh, there's power tonight. There's power in His blood. There's power in His name. There's power in His church tonight. Redemption. Restoring. Renewing.
There is power in the name of Jesus.
in the name of Jesus.
Oh, is somebody here with us, boy? Has he broke your chain?
There is power in the name of Jesus. Breaks every chain, break every chain.
As he stood there and said, God created me a clean heart. Lord, I need you to restore some joy that I have in my salvation. And if David could sing tonight, he'd tell you, well, there is joy in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah! You just love him with all of your heart. The chain breaker. The restorer. I said the restorer. The restorer of my soul. What else could I say? I just pledge allegiance to this Lamb. Why are you leaving tonight? God bless you going to Fear God service in the morning. Will I pledge my allegiance to the Lamb? I said with all of my strength, with all that I am, and I will sing. Oh yes, I will. I know I'll pledge. Yes, to. Hallelujah.
Life till the trumpet
sounds on that final day. Let us proudly stand. Command.